Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and joining us today is Dr. Jamie Kaufman, a professor of clinical otolaryngology at New York Eye and Ear Infirmary of the New York Medical College. Dr. Kaufman has been a leading clinician and researcher in the fields of laryngology, voice, and acid reflux for more than 25 years. She has received the Newcomb and Castleberry Awards from the American Laryngological Association, the Honor and Distinguished Service Awards from the American Academy of Otolaryngology, and the Broyles Maloney Award from the American Bronchoesophagology. You'll have to forgive me, Esophagological Association.
Pretty good, not bad.
Oh, that's a hard one. Her newest book is Dropping Acid, The Reflux Diet Cookbook and Cure. Hello, Dr. Kaufman.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. And this is an issue that many people are not aware of, and they are suffering from, and it can be helped. And that's what we hope to do today, to give them information so they'll be able to take care of themselves and live a healthier life. Jamie, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, a main objective of this show is to feature people in the field of healing and spirituality who share their stories of healing so others can discover and implement ways for improving their health and also learn more about how our thought patterns and behaviors affect the quality of our health, our choices, and our relationships. And so we're really seeking the process of self-investigation and trial and error so we may find a diet and lifestyle that can help us live longer, better, helping us make necessary changes for greater health. In today's episode, we will discuss the increase since 1976 of esophageal cancer up 850%, making it the fastest growing cancer in the country, according to the National Cancer Institute. And we will discuss symptoms of acid reflux and ways to minimize its damaging effects by making changes in diet and lowering our levels of stress. Jamie, I often ask my guests how their early life experience influenced their career path and interest in the work and life they now lead. Please tell us something about yourself and your motivation for writing your book.
Well, I laryngology is the field of it's part of ENT, ear, nose, and throat, and it's just throat. And laryngology in particular is also interested in voice and voice disorders. So I had the good fortune when I was a resident to study with one of the best laryngologists in the world and the father of the surgical laser. So I had actually the fourth laser in the United States for operating without cutting by going inside in 1978 when I started my practice. And I decided that I would specialize in laryngology and the voice. Mm-hmm. And what I did basically is say to colleagues, send me all the patients you don't want, you don't know what to do with, the ones you're stuck. And they started to send me patients who had complications following laryngeal surgery. And sure enough, I said to myself, these people all have inflammatory disease, and they all have inflammation, and that's why they're having complications. And we began studying by using special pH devices and found that acid in the throat was the problem. And the problem, of course, was no one knew about this, and it wasn't always obvious. For example, if you reflux at night, you could have all kinds of trouble and not know it was reflux. When people think of reflux, they usually think of heartburn and indigestion. So the truth is, I have spent 35 years as a scientist, as a researcher, and as a clinician taking care of this problem and to some extent trying to enlighten the medical establishment, which has been not only resistant, but is so fragmented that a lot of the research has never really seen the light. And so I really feel as though whenever anyone says to you, like, I understand something completely that affects 40% of the American population, yeah, and the entire, all these bright doctors in all these fields don't have any idea, you ought to say that they sound crazy or delusional, except in this particular case.
Well, perhaps they are. Isn't life a little bit of an illusion or a delusion if we're only going with our belief systems and not going deep into our spiritual awareness and intuitiveness? Now, you mentioned that you went into a modern laser therapy. You learned about it, and it sounds to me like that's an approach of the future and a higher spiritual vibration of intelligence at work. So
you are
a doctor of the future.
That's my job. My job is to try to stay 10 years ahead of the rest of the country. So a lot of the work that we're doing now is very pioneering. Just for example, people who have reflux need to have the esophagus checked because the trouble that occurs, as you mentioned, esophageal cancer has precursors and they're preventatives. So the problem is today people are being put to sleep in very expensive modalities with risks and complications. And in fact, there was a big, huge article about the cost of healthcare in America, $2.7 trillion a year. And it blamed these endoscopies, colonoscopy and endoscopies, esophageal endoscopies, for being the high price tag compared to any other country. Well, we can do these examinations with a patient awake and comfortable in just a few minutes and actually get a better, more complete, and more accurate examination. So there is a sort of push.
Yeah, I hope we're going to have more of that type of easier diagnostic tools.
Absolutely. You shouldn't have to go to sleep to be checked for cancer.
I think too many of the tests being done, there are too many, and it's hurting the people and the system. So I go along with what you just said.
I agree with it. I think that it's expensive and wasteful and at the mm-hmm. same time not so healthy.
Now, Dr. Oz wrote about you. Dr. Jamie Kaufman is pioneering a new way of looking at the complicated problem of acid reflux. So, Jamie, please tell us about the statistics and also give us a clinical definition of what acid reflux is. I mean, we're talking about it, but I bet you there are a lot of people out there that don't exactly know what it is.
Well, first of all, let me say that reflux literally means backflow. Mm-hmm. That's the word, backflow. So backflow from the stomach includes things that come in the stomach, basically digestive enzymes, a famous one called pepsin, which causes a lot of tissue damage, and acid. So when you backflow from the stomach into the esophagus, that's esophageal reflux. And when you backflow stomach contents into the throat, that's called airway reflux. Airway reflux is my thing. Airway reflux, it causes hoarseness, chronic cough, too much throat mucus, chronic throat clearing, a sense of a lump in the throat, sinusitis, and asthma. All of these things are mainly caused by reflux. And because people sometimes don't know it, we call it silent reflux. So silent reflux affects 1 out of 5 Americans, and that's a big number.
Well, I'm one of them, and I'm going to tell you my story. A few years ago, I had a constant cough and hoarseness, and was waking mm-hmm. up in the night, and mm-hmm. a lot of mucus and sinus infections, and I was sent to an allergy specialist, an immune specialist, everyone sent me to someone else, and really, so they gave me some medications, and what really needed to be addressed was the acid level of the foods I was eating and the fact that I was drinking a lot of diet soda. I had always been diet soda, and I was drinking maybe 4 a day. And I knew on one level it wasn't good for me, but I didn't know just how bad it really was. So you also mention another gastroesophageal reflux disease, which is known as GERD. Well, I didn't really have that.
You had the silent reflux.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's tell our listeners what GERD is really about.
All right. Well, first of all, you know that if something's going to come out of the stomach, the first thing it's going to do is go into the esophagus, which is the swallowing tube that connects the throat and the stomach. When you swallow, it has to go through that tube. So when people have reflux, and by the way, GERD is a big mouthful, gastroesophageal reflux disease, from the stomach to the esophagus,
uh-huh.
reflux disease. It causes damage to the esophagus, and it usually occurs at night, so the acid and enzymes can sit in contact with the lining membranes for hours. This is the cause of esophageal cancer. This is the cause of fungus infections. This is the cause of narrowing and swallowing difficulties. This is the cause of all those things in the esophagus itself. However, some people don't have reflux where the stuff sits in the esophagus for hours at night, where it bypasses, it goes all the way up into the throat. And it turns up that, turns out the throat is 100, maybe 500 times more sensitive to damage. So if you even have one reflux episode every few days, you can have throat clearing and hoarseness and all the things that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And if you wake up in the middle of the night coughing and can't catch your breath like a fish out of water,
yes,
there's only one diagnosis, and that's reflux, and that's airway reflux into the airways.
Well, that's,
and that's the one, that's the bad one.
Yes, yeah, that's what I have, and that's what I'm busy taking care of now. I'm going to help other people do that too. So symptoms of GERD include heartburn, maybe some chest pain after eating, especially after eating fried or greasy foods. But
yes,
silent reflux is when the acid and the pepsin, due to the foods or stress, go all the way up to the throat. And it's frightening when you wake up and you can't catch your breath. And
well, let me give you some other statistics, which I think you'll find horrifying. The average 12 to 29-year-old in the United States drinks about a half a gallon of soft drinks a day.
Mm-hmm.
And those soft drinks, by law, 1973, the FDA made a law that we would use acid as our primary preservative. And so they drink about a half gallon of acid a day. It's the same as city stomach acids, these soft drinks, all of them. Even ones you think are healthy. It's not just the diet sodas, but it's also healthy appearing things, vitamin water, Snapple, Nature's Own, Fuse, all of these, Gatorade, are highly acidic. And it's by law. And it would make one other quick, funny story not so funny. Last year, there was a person who said they found a mouse in a bottle of Diet Mountain Dew.
Oh.
And the Mountain Dew people said that's not possible. Had there been a mouse in the Mountain Dew, it would have dissolved.
Probably. From
not
all that
probably
acid.
It would have. So we have a problem with food additives, and the main problem is acid. And if you look at the consumption of soft drinks in the United States, it parallels the reflux epidemic, and it parallels the growth of esophageal cancer. I want to make one point so I don't forget. Right now, there's an ad on TV. Larry the Cable Guy says, "Hey, it's America. Eat what you want and take a pill."
Oh, well, that's not what we want for our listeners.
It's worse than that. I believe this is the main reason why esophageal cancer is the fastest growing cancer in the country, because that purple pill stops the symptom, but not the progression of disease.
Right.
It's about diet and lifestyle. So we should talk about that.
Well, we're going to get to that. But right now, so let's review for a minute. We are seeing acid reflux in a younger population.
Yes.
And we are seeing less of the classic symptoms of heartburn and more of the troublesome symptoms such as hoarseness, coughing, sore throat in the morning, postnasal drip syndromes, or this silent reflux. And we just discussed snoring might also be a symptom.
Well, I want to make three biggies. The big three that are being missed: sinusitis. Big four, I should say. Sinusitis, allergy, sleep apnea, and asthma. Let me tell you about asthma for your listeners. If you have trouble breathing and you've been diagnosed as asthma, ask yourself this question. Do you have more trouble getting air in or out? If the answer is in, it's reflux. It's reflux that mimics asthma. In my experience, 4 to 5 people with asthma don't have it. There are billions of dollars spent on asthma medications to not make these people well. So in addition to the symptoms, the diagnosis of asthma is often wrong. The diagnosis of sinusitis is often wrong. The diagnosis of allergic syndrome and allergic rhinitis is often wrong. All of these things, even ear symptoms, ear popping and ear fullness, sensation of, you know, in being in a barrel, all of these things can occur because of reflux coming up into the airway.
So silent reflux is the most important reason for diseases diagnosed of the breathing passages.
Exactly.
And it contributes also to the development of many diseases of the ear and the nose, the throat, and the lungs. Yeah.
Completely.
I had all those symptoms. Ear.
I make a couple of other general comments, by the way. The reason why the book's called Dropping Acid is once you have reflux into your throat, you have enzymes that literally, like lobsters, just hang on in the tissue, and they love anything acidic that you drink. And that's why once you have these enzymes present, you need to wash them out by avoiding acidity. And that's the whole point, is to have at least a 2 week of acid free.
Yes.
I think it's a big issue, because unfortunately almost everything in a bottle or a can except water has acid added.
Yes, I know. And in your book, you also give a wonderful chart on the acidic levels of many of the foods and drinks that we're using. And you suggest that under 4 is in the danger zone. And the lower it goes, the worse it is for us. And those over 4 are better for us to tame this pepsin and these acids, which are out of control in our system due to stress or diet or lifestyle.
I'm betting that we both really preach a bit of the M word, but the M word is sort of not American, un-American.
What's the M word?
Moderation.
Oh, that's a good word.
And I'll tell you a funny story, because there's been all this discussion about the Mediterranean diet, and it really is about portion control. If you go to Europe and you order ice cream in a restaurant, you get a shiny silver dish with a teaspoon of ice cream in it and a little tiny spoon. Here you get 3 scoops. And likewise, even the meat servings, you know, when you look at the size of a meat serving in a steak restaurant, that would be the amount of meat for a family of 4.
Yeah.
So I think that portion control and recognition that really high fat foods and highly acidic foods perpetuate reflux is sort of
I think people need a book like yours, because I think they need a chart like you produced, so they can take a look and they can see what they're eating that's not helping them, and they can make better choices. Yes, it's the size of the portion that we're eating is very important, and we are going to recommend moderation in everything we do, in our behavior, in our thinking, in our relationships, because that's the way to a healthier life and a more joyful, productive life.
But there's nothing wrong with having a little bit of acid some of the time. There's a big difference between having a glass of orange juice with brunch on Sunday and drinking a half a gallon a day.
Right.
And, you know, the amount of acidity is staggering, and that's why reflux is so rampant. And so, you know, and I must say, if you think about it, what I'm really talking about is the heart-healthy diet. Not too much fat, but enough fat, some fat, low fat, and reasonable in terms of flavorings, using fats and using acids as flavorings, not as main ingredients.
Okay, so Jamie, what constitutes the acidification of the American diet since 1970? Why is there so much acid in our foods?
Well, the main thing is it's used in everything in a bottle or can. So the question is, what do you drink if everything is pH 2? That's been number one. I think the highest risk factor for reflux is probably soft drinks and juices, believe it or not. Even though they're healthy in other ways, you take something that's acidic, they add more acid. And it says ascorbic acid, citric acid, or vitamin C enhanced. Believe me, it's not to give you more vitamins. It's so that nothing will grow in it. So those are big issues. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that we're also now discovering that there are a lot of other chemicals we don't know much about. We're also discovering that the acidity has to do with bone thinning in women.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much acidity, and we're also beginning to see that there may be a relationship with other cancers besides throat cancer and esophageal cancer that are clearly reflux related, but the acidity may have to do with colon cancer, pancreatic cancer, possibly breast cancer, and prostate cancer. And the reason I say that is there now are experiments being done in animal models where they can show slowing of tumor growth rates with an alkaline diet. So we don't know a lot yet about the whole body, but I can say that this idea that certain things that are acid become alkaline and certain things that are alkaline become acid in the body, I don't believe that's true. If you take in an acid, it's an acid, and if you take in alkaline, it's alkaline.
All right. That's what we want to do, take in less acid and more alkaline foods. So, Jamie, please tell us about your special 2-week low-acid diet, which you call acid detox.
Yep. And you got to understand something. Not everyone has reflux is in the same boat. Some people are really in the dumpster, not in the boat. If you have occasional heartburn, occasional symptoms, that's one thing. But if you're having symptoms all the time, if you're waking up as you were in the middle of the night, then you really should go on a 2-week detox. Okay.
Well, that only happened to me once, but it was really scary.
It's very scary. I had it also in 1997. I'm experienced in this area both as a patient and as a doctor. The detox diet is really quite simple. Nothing out of a bottle or a can except water, and we prefer alkaline water. The alkaline waters are usually found in health food stores or places like Whole Foods, and we're looking for pH 8. And the best ones are, there are two really good ones from Iceland. There's one from Louisiana called Evermore, and the one Fiji's not bad, and Deer Park's not bad, but you're looking for pH 8. And a lot of the waters, nothing wrong with drinking water. Water is healthy. But the alkaline water actually kills pepsin. It actually makes the stomach enzymes go away in the throat and in the esophagus. It doesn't have any, doesn't harm the stomach.
Okay.
So alkaline water is good. But the only fruit you can have during the 2-week detox is melons and bananas.
Yes, you wrote that with your best foods. You said include fish, poultry, tofu, melons, bananas, oatmeal, whole grains, bread, cereals, mushrooms, and greens.
All the vegetables except no onions, garlic, tomatoes, and peppers. Sorry. Now comes the killer for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part. No eating or drinking within 4 hours of bed for 2 weeks.
Well, you know, I've started to do that. And I must tell you, I do feel much better.
Mark Bittman just wrote a book called Vegan Before Six.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recommend vegan. And I think you need to watch out about nuts are a big trigger food for a lot of people. And fruits. So I think there's a middle ground. Funny, you know, when I was young, my family and my mother cooked dinner every night. We didn't eat out all the time. 6:30 was dinner. And then when I had children, even when I was a resident and then when I was a surgeon, dinner was 6:30. Then I moved to New York and dinner got a whole lot later. And then I said, whoa.
Yes, it's that New York life.
Back to dinner at 6:30, and it works out just fine. If you're going to theater or you're going to, a concert, and show's usually at 8 o'clock, and then afterwards I bid goodnight to my friends. You don't go out drinking.
Right.
So late night eating is the number one
culprit, and
no alcohol for 2 weeks either.
All right, and you also suggest, as we talked about earlier, to eat smaller meals more frequently instead of larger meals.
Yes.
Do not eat anything about 3 to 4 hours before bedtime.
Yep.
Try to eat the foods that have a low acidic level and drink water that has a high alkaline level. And you also mentioned, and this was interesting, you said some people may love bananas, but they start to feel uncomfortable. I'm one of those. I know bananas, you know, have potassium. They're good for you.
Yep.
But the minute I eat them, I feel uncomfortable and a heaviness. So
it has to
be individually geared for each person, because no two people are going to react the same to any of these foods. So they have to find what really feels good for them.
You're right.
All right. But we do know we have to surrender foods such as fried foods, chocolate, soda pop, citrus fruits and juices, and as you said, nothing out of a can. And guess what? Beer and wine are not too good for reflux either. So what are we going to suggest people drink besides
water? Well, let me make a couple
of
comments. Once you get over the detox period, the 2-week period, most people can go back to drinking a beer and a wine, but one, make it with your meal if you like that. Otherwise, and the same thing with coffee, there's nothing wrong with 2 cups of coffee a day, but if the people who drink a pot before noon, they're pretty much mostly refluxers. But again, your point is very, very well taken, and I need to reemphasize it. Different people have different trigger foods. So when you look at the big ones that are listed as quote, idiosyncratic. That's just a fancy word for some people, it's a trigger food, some people it isn't. onions, garlic, tomato, peppers. I never had a problem with garlic. I never had a problem with a tomato. A big, big problem with onions, a raw onion in particular, big, big problem. And it varies from person to person. Green peppers used to make me go like crazy. And cucumbers, which are non-acidic, are often a trigger food. The most common trigger foods are the things that I've mentioned, garlic, onions, tomatoes, peppers, anything that says pepper in it, green, black, or otherwise, and certainly nuts, particularly cashews and peanuts are big trigger foods, high fat, coconut, almost all saturated fat, big trigger food for a lot of people, and then coffee, white wine, mm-hmm. And then it gets to be everyone's different.
Yes. So everybody has to use a little bit of trial and error. Use your book to look through and read the chart and read some of the stories that you wrote about some of your patients, which were wonderful and clearly showed how certain things they were doing created a more serious problem than they had to deal with and how you dealt with it. So I want to thank you, Dr. Jamie Kaufman, for exploring in depth the problem and solutions for acid reflux and gastric reflux and other digestive situations which cause so much pain and dysfunction in a good percentage of the population. For more information on acid reflux and to purchase the book, Dropping Acid, the Reflux Diet Cookbook and Cure, go to KaufmanReflux.com.
Well, actually, now we're just... Just the Voice Institute of New York is fine. Voice Institute of New York.
Okay.
And if you Google dropping acid, Timothy Leary doesn't even come up anymore.
Okay. So in summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have attempted to clarify many misconceptions about the nature and causation of acid reflux and gastric disease and offered several solutions and also food recipes suggested in the book to make this challenge for so many people a thing of the past. The cell biology or basic science of reflux in conjunction with clinical experience has shown that a highly acidic diet is really harmful for people with reflux. Eating fresh, organic, non-processed food with generally low acid levels is recommended. The observation of life habits is also to learn more about ourselves and what creates a comfortable interaction with our physical and spiritual life force in order to help ourselves live a healthy and productive life free of pain and suffering. They often say what we eat is what we are and will become, much like what we think creates either a good reality or dysfunction. Choices for better living and our continued love of life begins with diet, managing stress, and creating healthy relationships. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to listen to new and archived shows with leaders in the fields of health, energy medicine, holistic practices, spirituality, science, education, and the arts to improve the quality of your life and the fostering of a healthier world community. Go to my website, CherylGlick.com, or WebTalkRadio.net, and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.